Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Great to have our music team together again. Fantastic. Thank you for being here. Yay, we're back. Nobody can leave town anymore. All right, we're done. All right, okay. So why would anybody want to tackle preaching these assigned texts, especially the first part of the gospel lesson? I'll admit that I very seriously considered rejecting the assigned text for today and choosing something a little bit easier to preach and to hear, because it speaks of pretty directly about a very touchy, delicate subject, divorce. But here it is, and we need to spend time listening for God's word in it, so let's do it. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. We've all heard this familiar phrase, which we normally associate with a happy event, a wedding. But if we take a moment to consider the context of this teaching as spoken by Jesus, we can hear a very important message about relationships in general and about grace, reconciliation, and forgiveness, using the marriage relationship as a point of reference. Okay, so Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Yeah, I was really looking forward to preaching this one. This one kept me up nights. I mean, that's just about as clear and unambiguous as you can get. And yet we have divorced and remarried people right here in our congregation. And in most congregations. But we don't exclude them from fellowship or Holy Communion or make them sit in the back row or something. And no one is saying to a battered or abused wife that she and her children must risk serial physical and psychological torment just to avoid divorce. The fact is that in any given congregation, divorced persons might be faith formation teachers and ushers and choir members and council members and even pastors. If you have experienced the trauma of divorce, or if you have fretted or cried with family or close friends who have experienced the death of a marriage, and it is truly a death, then you know all too well its pain. A failed marriage represents a human tragedy for everyone involved. Unfortunately, I think it's safe to say that just about all of us have been touched by it in one way or another. None of us can escape the reality of divorce. And most of us have experienced the feelings of separation and brokenness in relationships that divorce represents. But divorce is only the public recognition of a private reality. Behind the legal process lie the alienations and separation that already exist between two people. Just as each of us exists in many relationships, so each of us has also experienced in relationships distance and separation and alienation, whether from a husband or wife, parent or child, a friend, or even from God. Each of us has felt the painful reality of separation in relationships, whatever the form or circumstances might have been. So it isn't just isolated to divorce. You and I know where it is. You know where it is in your relationships. I know where it is in mine. And that's the takeaway in Jesus' words here. It's more than just the legality of divorce that Jesus is Jesus' point and concern, given the context of this writing. Now, it's very important to remember to whom he was speaking these words. Again, context is critical to understanding the significance of any text. It was to the Pharisees who were out to ambush Jesus. This is not some private discussion with his disciples. He was responding to a hostile question meant to trap him so that the Pharisees could turn him in as a traitor and heretic and thereby eliminate him from their lives. In other words, have him killed. And he didn't sidestep it. He faced it squarely. Only he refused to fight in the ring the Pharisees had laid out for him. They wanted to talk about a person's rights under the law. Jesus spoke of God's will. They wanted to talk about what they had permission to do. Jesus spoke of what God created them to do. They wanted to talk about marriage as a legal arrangement. Jesus spoke of it as a union grounded in the genesis of the world. Jesus refreshed their memories, lifting them out of their divorce court mentality and setting them back down in the Garden of Eden, where a man and a woman discovered that their union with each other was rooted in God's union with them. They became partners in creation, creators of true friendship and mutual support, creators of children, creators of the human family. Okay, all this is pretty heavy stuff, and I haven't told a joke yet to lighten things up a little bit, so here goes. Remember, you got to keep it clean, so. All right. Couple goes into a jewelry store to pick out their wedding bands. The woman picks out a set and says, that's it. But the man complains and says, honey, this wedding band is too wide. I'm afraid it'll cut off my circulation. She looks at him and smiles and said, sweetheart, that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Okay, had to be clean. So anyway, back to our very heavy lesson. Think about what was going on at the time Jesus was teaching, the context. The laws about divorce had been clearly laid out in Deuteronomy. A man could divorce his wife if he just up and decided one day that he didn't like her cooking or anything just as arbitrary. King Herod, who was in power at the time, had done just that. He had divorced his first wife in order to marry his brother's wife, Herodias. When John the Baptist denounced that marriage, well, we know how that turned out. So Jesus' response to this trap that had been set by the Pharisees was more than just small talk. It could mean life or death. But Jesus goes beyond the letter of the law, where we usually stop, and talks about the intent of the law. Jesus teaches us that God intended that all relationships, especially marriage, should last for life. And when we look closely at the gospel, we see and hear that it proclaims the sinfulness of all separation, but in it, we also hear the glorious grace of God's forgiveness and reconciliation. It teaches that divorce is legal, divorce is sinful, and divorce is forgivable. You see, Jesus said that it was for their hardness of heart that Moses allowed the Israelites to divorce in the first place. Moses was only legalizing what had already been happening because of their hardness of heart, which came into the entire human race with the fall. This hardness of heart lies at the root of the separation and alienation we feel in all failed relationships. This hardness of heart goes into every relationship, seeking only for itself. Because you and I are part of a fallen creation, because our relationship with our Creator apart from Christ is broken, we cannot overcome the hardness of our hearts by ourselves that leads to the separation that occurs in our relationships. So our own lawmakers, like Moses, had to legalize that separation, but they never said it was right, only legal. We can see in the text that Jesus takes the sanctity of relationship seriously, and he compels us to take it seriously too. We are called to an understanding of marriage and relationships in general that is no less than that of our Lord's. Jesus' words are both mandate and judgment. They are a mandate demanding that we take responsibility for the quality of every relationship, that we take the log out of our own eye before pointing to the splinter in the eye of another, that we change our behavior patterns to give more than we get, to listen more than we talk, to relate as equals before God, refusing to look down or up at anyone. They are judgment because they condemn the breakdown of relationship as sinful. And none of us can escape experiencing brokenness and distance in our relationships. As one author put it, quote, "The kingdom of God is the kingdom of right relationships. Anything that makes our relationships not right, everything in that is in them that is wrong or hurtful is sin." End of quote. But our gospel lesson doesn't end there. Right in the middle of this heavy discussion of the law burst laughing children. So what do they have to do with this discussion? This seems to be, it seems kind of an odd thing. It's like sort of an out-of-place account given the tense atmosphere. Well, the disciples get rather impatient with these kids and say something like, "Hey, we're having a serious discussion. Somebody get these kids out of here." But Jesus sees in these children the miracle of reconciliation and healing and innocence that the disciples and we can experience. He took them into his arms, saying, "Don't stop them, because it is to such children as that the kingdom of God belongs." Now, the symbolism and lesson here is that we too are children whom Jesus takes into his arms, even though we fail. Even when a marriage must end for the survival of the individuals involved, he takes us in simply because he loves us and wants us to be well and whole again. We too are the children who receive his good gifts of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We too are the children who can know that no matter how deep or dark our sin, no matter how painful or pervasive our separation, we can always run into the arms of our waiting Lord, grieving our sins and receive his recreating love. We can be assured that Jesus will hug us into wholeness simply because he loves us. This is the glorious grace of reconciliation and inner peace. This is what the arms of Christ stretched out on the cross really mean. God was in Christ, hugging the world, hugging you and me with those arms and with a love that will never let go. God, who created us for relationship with God and one another, comes in Christ to establish all our relationships as holy places of God's own presence and power, at work to accomplish God's purpose. This Christ comes to us in word and water, bread and wine, to bless and sustain our relationships. This Christ comes to accomplish the work of forgiveness and reconciliation, to create again health and wholeness and holiness in all our relationships. That's the glorious grace of God, transcending all of our sinful separation, even divorce. That's the kingdom of right relationships. Our failures are not definitive. God's purpose is. So thanks be to God for God's healing power of forgiveness, reconciliation, and relationship, which we are able to experience through the grace and love of Christ our Lord. Amen.